painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with members of Nautilus Music Theater of St. Paul, Minnesota. The company is visiting John Hassler Theater in Plainview, Minnesota, with their production of The View From Here by Timothy Wang. The piece is a one-man musical accompanied by trumpet and piano. Many emotions are explored throughout the piece, from amusement, fear, grief, courage, and redemption, making for an engaging piece exploring the scope of one's own life and bringing universal appeal to all audience members. Learn what goes into creating a production such as this and the artistic approach Nautilus executes with The View From Here today on Artbeat. Hi, this is Terry, and I am once again in Plainview, Minnesota, visiting the John Hassler Theater, and Nautilus Music Theater is here with me to talk about The View From Here. And I'm going to have us go around in a circle and have everybody introduce themselves so you get used to their voice.
Hi, I'm Ben Krywaz, Artistic Director of Nautilus Music Theater and the Stage Director for The View From Here.
Hi, I'm Joel Listman, and I'm the lone actor in the piece. So I do pretty much everything that is seen.
Well, I guess that makes me behind the scenes partially. I'm Jerry Rubino. I'm the music director, and I'm playing the piano for this particular production.
Now, from what I've read, this is a one man's act, so to speak. But there are musicians on the stage with you, but it's very minimal, so that the story is brought more to the front, which is a common theme with the different musicals produced by Nautilus. Can you give me an idea of what people should expect for storyline?
Well, it's a really interesting piece in that it begins in one direction, and it appears to be the story of a young man, a novelist, who has come to New York to sell his book to publishers. And it sort of tracks the misadventures of him going around to publishers and kind of dealing with the task of getting this piece sold. And throughout the course of it, he writes letters to his wife to keep her up to date on what it is that he's doing. And then gradually the piece begins to evolve, and we begin to understand that there's something else going on in his mind emotionally, and the piece evolves into a revelation that the audience shares in.
For you, Joel, you get to internalize the character. How do you personally relate to the character? Is there any parallels between your life and the character?
Yeah, when Ben approached me to do this piece about a little over a year ago, actually, I guess it would have been, we first started talking about it almost 2 years ago when my son was born. And there's an element of the piece that has to do with the novelist not being ready for what it is that life throws at him. And so how an individual deals with drastic change in his life. I have, of course, had this massive event happen. My son was born 2 months early, 2 months premature, spent a couple months in the hospital. My wife and I spending every day there. Pretty much everything gets put on hold when you have a kid in the hospital. And so that major life event, that's what I tap into a lot when I'm bringing this guy to life. And, you know, anytime you have such a major life change, it completely rocks your world. And so I had this, life event happen. And so I tap into that a lot to bring this guy to life with all the changes that he has to go through, kicking and screaming in a lot of ways.
So you're approaching it and bringing your own experiences into that. Is that painful ever?
Yeah, it can be very painful. It's one of the things that we have worked a lot on during the rehearsal process and in other projects with Nautilus, is making yourself emotionally vulnerable and having that sort of raw emotional naturalism on display for the audience, and certainly not putting up any, theatrical or actor-y barriers to the audience. So, yeah, and so in order to do that, sometimes that means that you have to let yourself go to some, not just dark places, but you have to let yourself go to some really emotionally joyous places, which sometimes is just as difficult to do and just as frightening to do, to allow yourself to be seen. Anytime you're you're allowing yourself to be seen emotionally raw, it's kind of risky. It's kind of scary a little bit as a person, as and as an actor. That's what, you know, that's what we're asked to do. At least that's what we feel that, you know, a good actor is asked to do. And so that's something that we try to do every single night. It's saying how far I can, how stripped bare can I be emotionally? And it's important.
Yeah, I would say that one thing that audiences really crave is the sense of emotional vulnerability. To see that in an actor as they're telling a story sort of allows us to go to that place of intimacy. And that's something that we really like to see, I think, as an audience, and something that we would like to bring more into our own lives. So when we see that on the stage, and some performer of Joe's caliber being able to go to that place, it's something that's very appealing to audiences.
Another thing that helps heighten emotion or drive a point across is music, and that's where you come in, correct?
Well, yes. Well, one of the reasons why I so value working with Ben in the company is the collaborative nature that we practice. I don't feel like the music is just simply accompanying the dramatic urge, but the musical thoughts and sounds. I remember when Joel first came over to my house and we started reading through it. I mean, Joel automatically tends to do this, but one of the things I go for as a musical coach is to encourage that the sound should sound like the emotion or sound like the meaning. That's not music 101. That's kind of advanced thinking. Although in real life, that's what we do. We let our voice reflect our emotion and reflect how we're feeling. But sometimes when we're singing or acting or trying to blend the two, it's an interesting technique to actually learn. I also will say that this particular piece is it's more like an opera than a musical because. And when I say opera, I simply mean that it's almost completely sung. And most music theater people think, well, a musical often has lots of dialogue or speaking. And Joel does speak in this piece, but a majority of what he says, he sings. And I play almost nonstop. So there's a lot of underscoring, and a lot of what I play either anticipates Joel's emotion or often responds to it. There's only one instrumentalist in addition to me in the score, and it calls for a trumpet player. And we have a wonderful player named Jack Gillespie who's playing the show. And, you know, a lot of the parts are written out. It's just, you know, a trumpet part to be played in the orchestra. But there are many places where it's been the way that the piece was conceived is that the trumpet or the sound of the trumpet is a character that is interacting with Joel. So Joel will say something, and instead of a human being responding, you'll hear the trumpet player make a sound that sounds like something. Like in the trumpet line, we've actually made some choices to say, make a sound that sounds like a response like, are you kidding? Or sure. And there's certain sounds you might actually hear a ding, 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 da, which sounds like a question, or are you kidding? It's like he kind of gurgles into the trumpet, and it's kind of funny, but you really get the point from the sound, which I think is a very unique approach to this. Also, I thought I would just say that Timothy, the writer of the piece, was with us last year when we first worked on it and heard it, and we kind of did some workshopping with him and actually asked, did he write what he actually had intended, or did he actually, you know, after hearing it, was it what he wanted? And of course, in many cases, he was very happy, but in many cases, he gave us some license to tinker with a few things. And there are places in here where I've changed the score with his permission in order to try to at best facilitate the desires of the director, the desires of the story, and where Joel's going. So it really is it's a very fun collaborative process.
When you were saying how there's call and response between the trumpet and Joel's character, it reminds me of Peter and the Wolf, very much so. And then you were talking about how music can relate to what the character's going through. And I remember in music theory being taught how music can have color and thinking of how that influences people, like make this sound blue or make this sound red. And I don't know if people still do that at all or not.
Yeah, actually, to that end, just to elaborate a little bit on what Jerry was saying, that it's not that the trumpet player actually sounds like a character. He is a character. Mm-hmm. And he's off stage. We never see him, but Joel's character does. He's a street musician. And as Joel comes and goes in and out of his apartment, he, you know, bumps into this fellow on the street who plays trumpet, and that's where the conversations occur. And sometimes, as a character, the character Sam, the trumpet player, will comment on Joel's character's situation and so forth. So there's actually a dramaturgical reason to have him there, in addition to the musical reason, and that makes for a lot of fun interaction.
Well, let's talk about your artistic approach to creating the piece and making it different and making it something of Nautilus. How did you approach that?
Well, I worked with Timothy about 6 or 7 years ago in a composer libretto studio in New York and liked him a lot. He was very, very charming, very witty, very energetic, had lots of ideas, many ideas. Sometimes too many ideas, and which he'd be the first to admit. And I just felt like this is somebody I need to keep in touch with. And I saw this piece at a festival that he presented at New York Musical Theater Festival a few years ago. And I thought, well, this is a really wonderful piece. He had written it sometime earlier as, you know, an early piece for him. But there was obviously a lot of substance to it and an opportunity for a performer like Joel to kind of really sink his teeth into it and make it a tour de force. So when the time was right, it seemed like this, you know, as Joel mentioned, that was seemed to be a right time in his life for tapping into the emotional energy of the piece. And I approached Timothy. He was delighted to have us play with it. And we put this together for the Nautilus studio space, a very small little room, actually, up in St. Paul, and kind of brought it to life there, thought of it as a somewhat stylized piece. But given the nature of the story and how much of it takes place inside this New York City apartment, that's very specifically Timothy thought of as an unfurnished apartment. All it has is a window and a phone, a landline, that becomes crucial to the storytelling. As Joel's character comes in, he sets up an answering machine because he wants to get the responses from the various publishers that he's peddling his book toward. And so that New York City apartment, then the details of that became very naturalistic. But the overall shape of the whole production, as he comes outside of the apartment and to the sidewalks of New York where some of the action takes place, becomes much more stylized. And the simplicity of the overall set allows us to really focus on Joel's character, to watch him as a performer as he tells the story. And intrinsic to the storytelling, and something that we actually emphasized, was a direct address to the audience. So there are a number of times where he's talking to Sam, or he's writing a letter to his wife, Kelly, or he's thinking out loud to himself. And that's what we would expect of a musical. But other times he simply turns to the audience and starts telling a story or explaining to them what's going on or how he's feeling. And so in that sense, it begins to shift people's thinking about how a conventional musical is laid out. And that's something we believe very strongly in, is the idea of the performer as a storyteller and being able to just directly address the issues that are at play.
Joel, with you being the storyteller, as is the music, but I mean, you're the face that the audience sees. There's a lot of responsibility that falls on you. And there are challenges that come with that responsibility. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah, there is. It is the scariest, biggest project I have ever attempted as a performer, to not even have even just any other, if something were to go wrong, I only have myself to somehow work my way out of it. I mean, Jerry can help me to a certain extent at the piano. Jack, as a trumpet player, kind of just has to kind of ride along with Jerry and I. But for the most part, I don't have the luxury of another actor to, you know, bounce that energy off of and to kind of help, you know, with the ebbs and flows and the peaks and valleys of the storyline. So it's been a fantastic challenge to just take all of that on and be okay with it. You know, there comes a point where you have to have the, I think it was Brian Williams from NBC Nightly News. He was talking about in this interview that I was listening to about the, I got this gene. And he was like, whenever, you know, it doesn't matter. He talks about, you know, the Nightly News, it's like Saturday Night Live. They don't go on because they're ready. They go on because it's time to do the show. And there's an element of, at least early on when we started the rehearsal process, it was, I had a lot of self-doubt of going, okay, can I push myself there? Can I allow Ben to push me and to help me get where I need to go in order to make this character vital? And then it eventually got to a point, and I finally just had to, it kind of was a little light bulb moment where I was like, oh no, you know what? I got this. I can let my, and by I got this doesn't mean like, oh no, this is no problem. It's, I can allow myself to do what I need to do to hopefully do the job of telling this story and communicating with the audience.
There's a lot of trust then that's built with everybody involved. I mean, you're talking about director, sound, tech, musicians, everything. Do you have any thoughts on that, on the challenges? I know that you're building a relationship of trust with Joel on stage, right, Jerry, with the musicians?
Absolutely. And Joel and I have known each other and worked together professionally for quite a few years now. And so we're acquainted with each other. And with that comes trust. Trust really is, from musician to musician, is significantly based on ears, listening and knowing what the other person is doing, or allowing the other person to do something and then responding accordingly. In the run that we just finished, just a few hours ago, I was aware that I am sometimes actually playing a chord. I mean, the way it's written in the music is Joel and I actually sing beat, beat, rest, beat, beat, rest. And I think it's become more dramatic as he's taken a few, if you want to say, liberties. He trusts me to actually play the downbeat and then he can come in later. Or sometimes he comes in before I do. I wait a split second and then respond to it a little bit. I can tell he's listening to me, so therefore I don't have to worry that I have to always be taking care of him. I'm not just accompanying him. We are kind of working in tandem. And that's really kind of exciting.
And all of this is with us not being able to see each other at all. So, I mean, Jerry's around the corner off to the side. He can see me somewhat through a video monitor, but that's, you know, taken from some distance. So a lot of the subtle things that might happen within the course of the piece is all based on the feeling, the energy that Jerry and I somehow are able to project out, take a slight right, and then take another right around the corner to get to the piano where Jerry is sitting.
I think your listeners might be intrigued by specifically how do we do that. And one of the ways I do that is by micro-analyzing the quality of the way Joel takes a breath. So that, it, you know, depending on how he does it, I can tell how fast he's going to sing and what the attitude is going to be. I mean, it's all in just a little breath. And that's the kind of sensitivity that is so much fun to develop over time.
Some people would call that a psychic ability almost, in a way.
At least let's call it intuitive, you know, but yes, okay. I guess.
For you as a director, Ben, there's creative license that you give to the musicians and to the actor. And how much ebb and flow do you allow for that?
What's important to me is the emotional shape of the show. And sometimes there are certain visual things that I know will work better or be more clear about something. And I'll give notes to Joel about how a particular scene, you know, might be shaped. But within that, there's quite a bit of flexibility. I mean, even today I was giving some notes where, you know, I said, you can try this or try that or somewhere in here, do something like this or whatever. What I like is to direct a show where I come to see it, knowing the general shape of it, knowing that the blocking is worked out, all the lighting cues are worked out, the interaction with the music director is clarified, and then I can ask myself, gosh, I wonder what they're going to do tonight. Knowing that within certain parameters, Joel and Jerry have an ebb and flow, and things are going to evolve depending upon the moment. And sometimes choices are made like, oh, I've never seen that before, and that makes perfect sense. And sometimes like, oh, that's a choice that we haven't seen before. That's not as successful as other choices. And I'll give a note to that effect, but I support the experimentation to say, well, let's try that. You know, none of the performers I work with would ever try something that would be outside the parameters. We've explored a bunch of stuff during the rehearsal process, and I've usually enter into the process with a clear kind of a roadmap about how I see it emotionally. And sometimes that changes, certainly in the course of the rehearsal process. But it's not something that can be micromanaged. It has to develop collaboratively to see how does this feel. Can we agree on sort of the general tone? And then what choices do you want to make as an actor, Joel? And then here's what it's looking like, and you might try this instead. So there is quite a bit of that kind of interaction. For me, one of the most exciting and moving parts of this story is how Joel's character works through the darkness that has sent him to the big city to sell his novel. And eventually he reaches a point of taking responsibilities for his actions and kind of going through the despair of questioning his very reason for existence and coming out the other side and realizing that he has a reason to live. And he comes eventually to a place of joy, of embracing the future, and of rooting his life forward in a sense of hope and a sense of service. And that's one of the most powerful things about the piece. And that's something that may not be evident at the beginning of the piece. It certainly is not evident in the middle of the piece, but it's definitely where the piece goes. And I think that, for me, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this piece, to provide that sense of hope and the sense of healing that I think that is the best thing that music theater can provide for audiences.
That's a common theme, though, with the productions that Nautilus prepares, right?
Well, certainly we like to provide that kind of experience. There's many other kinds of experiences that theater can provide, and other companies do that well. But we do try to root our work in a sense of hope and a sense of healing, and providing audiences with a emotionally, spiritually uplifting and musically accessible and dramatically engaging kind of story.
What kind of enlightenment for you, Joel, and for you, Jerry, did this piece provide?
Wow. This piece, for so many reasons, emotionally, this piece, since it sort of coincided with some big life-changing events, it does help, or it did help. It helps to kind of keep me grounded and keep me from thinking too far into the future and worrying about what problems could happen and what things might end up being, and trying to just stay in the present, whether that's in the good or whether that's in the bad, but just deal with the now and let that inform and affect the future, and just to remain present and to be there.
Thanks for asking that question. I don't think I've ever been asked what was enlightening about it. That's such a powerful word. And I'm glad Joel went first. I feel that we've kind of already mentioned one of the unique things to this piece was the trumpet being a character. And that exploration has been a first in its way. And I find that the whole interaction between Ben and me, between the actor and me, between us and the audience talkbacks. I mean, I feel so enriched by the development of the relationships that we're having as a result of working together on this piece. And not just us, but, you know, the lighting director and the people who build the set. I mean, there's people who use their gifts and talents, and without it all, it just, the whole piece doesn't come together. And these are lovely people that sometimes you don't even see. But the process of getting to know each other and to honor and respect the gifts that everyone offers, and then to see it come to fruition, and then be able to meet people that are, you know, 90 miles away from where we live, and just see that they appreciate the same kinds of things that, you know, we do, and that they value what we're working towards, is an opening experience for me, and therefore a blessed experience.
So when are the performances taking place?
We had a great weekend, performances on Friday and Saturday here in Plainview. And then this coming Friday night, Saturday night, both at 7:30, and then Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock.
So if people want to know more about Nautilus and The View From Here and all the wonderful productions that you have, where can they go?
Well, for The View From Here, they can call the John Hassler Theater here in Plainview, and that's at 507-534-2900. If they want to know more about Nautilus, they can drop us a line, staff@nautilusmusictheater.org, and that's music theater spelled with an E-R.
Well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was great to talk with you.
Thanks again to Ben Krywas, Joel Listman, and Jerry Rubino for joining us on ArtBeat. More information on how you can attend The View From Here in Plainview, Minnesota, can be found at johnhasslertheater.org. That's John spelled J-O-N and theater with an E-R. More information on Nautilus Music Theater can be found at www.nautilusmusictheater.org. Again, that's theater with an E-R. You've been listening to Art Beat with Terry Tenseth.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.